NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tonight, breaking news. A judge unsealing the FBI search warrant executed at former President Donald Trump's home. The warrant and the receipts revealing FBI agents seized 11 sets of classified documents from Mar-a-Lago, including several marked top secret. It comes after a report that authorities were looking for sensitive documents about nuclear weapons. What else was in the 27 boxes the FBI took from Mr. Trump's home and the potential crimes he may be under investigation for, including violating the Espionage Act? Also tonight, the shocking attack on stage. Author Salman Rushdie stabbed in the neck. The writer, who lived in hiding for years under death threats from Iran, flown to the hospital. What police just said about the suspect. The FBI revealing the gunman who attacked an Ohio field office was on its radar, but it was unable to find and interview him. His disturbing online trail and more on his links to January 6th. What warning signs were missed? Also tonight, what health officials are calling an alarming discovery, the polio virus in New York City, the potential risk, including paralysis, especially for children. And actress Anne Heche, her death at 53, a week after crashing her car into a home. The message from her heartbroken family.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
And good evening. I'm Tom Yamas, in for Lester. Tonight, we start with that breaking news. Our first look at the search warrant used to seize those highly classified documents the FBI found inside former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence. That unprecedented search turning up sensitive documents, four even labeled top secret and meant to be viewed only in highly secured facilities. Tonight, what we're finding out about what else was found, including 27 boxes, information about the president of France, clemency papers for top Trump confidant Roger Stone, and binders of photos. All of it fueling questions tonight about what will happen next, with a document stating agents were searching for evidence of violating three laws, including part of the Espionage Act. Tonight's revelation bookending a week that began with that hours-long search. We've got it all covered tonight, and we begin with Kelly O'Donnell in Washington.
Tonight, government secrets recovered. NBC News obtained, and later a federal magistrate unsealed, the search and seizure warrant that made history this week, as FBI agents removed 11 sets of classified documents from the Florida estate of former President Donald Trump. His lawyer signed the receipt that lists each box removed. Among the 27 boxes seized, a set of documents marked top secret, sensitive, compartmented information. That's material that can be only viewed in a secure facility where no cell phones are permitted, a room with special defenses designed to prevent foreign eavesdropping. Other documents removed were marked at different security levels, top secret, secret, and confidential. An alarming detail. The warrant said FBI agents were pursuing national defense information. The court filing shows investigators had probable cause related to three federal laws, including violations of the Espionage Act.
It's a statute that has been used in prior criminal prosecutions of individuals who are in unlawful possession of classified information. And that's a pretty shocking thing to see undergirding a search warrant focused on a former president of the United States.
The Washington Post reports that agents were looking for classified documents about nuclear weapons, according to people familiar with the investigation. In a social media post, the former president has disputed that, stating, "Nuclear weapons issue is a hoax. Consequential events never seen before. A former president and his private enclave under scrutiny." An attorney general saying he signed off on the search.
I personally approved the decision to seek a search warrant.
The court authorized a broad search of the 17-acre estate, covering all storage rooms and all other rooms, all structures or buildings on the estate, available to be used by FPOTUS, the former president and his staff, but excluded areas occupied by private club members, while most seized items are described with just a box number, a few reveal more, like this, an executive grant of clemency for Roger Stone, info regarding the president of France, two binders of photos, and one handwritten note. In a statement, former President Trump responds, it was all declassified, adding, they could have had it anytime they wanted without playing politics.
All right, Kelly O'Donnell joins us now from the White House. And Kelly, the FBI now has their documents back. And I guess the big question tonight, is that it? Was that their goal or to pursue charges?
To be determined. So investigators must review what's inside all these boxes. Is it enough that government property has been returned the hard way? Will we learn why the former president kept these things? The affidavit in this matter is still sealed, and that contains much more about what investigators were pursuing and where this might lead. Tom?
All right, still so many questions tonight. Kelly O'Donnell leading us off from the White House. I want to bring in now our justice correspondent, Ken Delanian. And Ken, Kelly touched upon this in her story, but explain to our viewers, what laws does the FBI suspect the former president has broken?
The warrant says the FBI was looking for documents connected to violations of three statutes, Tom. One makes it illegal to destroy or conceal records in a federal investigation. A second prohibits the unlawful removal of government materials. And a third, the Espionage Act, makes it a crime to take national defense information with intent to harm the United States. Anyone convicted of any of those crimes could face significant prison time, though it's not clear at all whether the Justice Department intends to charge Trump or anyone else.
And Ken, the former president, as you know, saying tonight he declassified those documents. Does he have a legal argument, and will he need proof?
Many legal scholars say he doesn't have an argument, Tom, because even though the president has the power to declassify documents at will, they believe the declassification has to be documented in some way. They say a former president can't just take home state secrets and claim without evidence that he declassified them when he was in office. But the idea that secrecy rules apply to the president has never been tested in court. And some scholars think Trump could fend off criminal charges by citing his presidential authority. What's noteworthy about the three laws the FBI cites, though, Tom, is that they apply whether or not the records are classified. It's almost as if the Justice Department was anticipating Trump's defense. Tom?
Ken Delanian for us tonight. Ken, we appreciate it. Now to that other breaking news we're following tonight, that stunning attack in upstate New York today on famed author Salman Rushdie, who has faced death threats from Iran ever since writing a book years ago deemed blasphemous by that country's religious leaders. Here's Andrea Mitchell.
It was a scene of chaos, a shocking attack at a nearly 150-year-old artist retreat in upstate New York.
But the amphitheater presenter was just attacked on the stage. I need EMS.
Author Salman Rushdie stabbed on stage right before he was to give a lecture. Police say the suspect, now in custody, is 24-year-old Hadi Matar, that he rushed on stage, attacking Rushdie and his interviewer. Police saying Rushdie suffered stab wounds to his neck and abdomen.
Early, we don't have any indication of a motive at this time.
An anchor from our Pittsburgh NBC station, WPXI, an eyewitness.
This guy rushes the stage and grabs him and starts either punching or stabbing him.
Rabbi Charles Savinar was in the audience and took this video after the attack.
All I remember seeing at that time was the assailant's arm going up and down, up and down. It looked like Mr. Rushdie, who began on the chair, ended up on the floor.
Rushdie has lived with risk to his life ever since a fatwa or decree in 1989 by then Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khomeini, that called for his murder. Rushdie's novel, The Satanic Verses, was banned in Iran, deemed blasphemous by the religious fundamentalists. He talked about the threat with NBC's Kate Snow in 2020.
You had to hide for, what, a decade?
I've always thought that the word hiding is very inexact, because one of the things anyone who's ever being surrounded by maximum security knows is that it's unbelievably visible.
Years ago, Iran's government distanced itself from the fatwa, but threats to Rushdie continued. After being airlifted to a hospital, Rushdie was undergoing surgery.
All right, Andrea joins us now live. Andrea, we just heard it there in your story. Authorities know the name of this suspect, but there's still a lot they don't know, including at this point a motive.
Absolutely right, Tom. The FBI is assisting in this investigation. And NBC News has learned tonight from a law enforcement source briefed on the investigation that on the suspect's social media, he has shown sympathy to the Iranian regime, including Qasem Soleimani, the commander of Iran's military wing of the Revolutionary Guard, who the U.S. killed in 2020. And tonight, a senior official tells NBC News the FBI is investigating whether the suspect had any connection to the Iranian government itself. Tom.
All right, Andrea Mitchell on that shocking attack tonight. Andrea, thank you. We are learning more about the thwarted attack on an FBI field office in Cincinnati. The suspect apparently was known to the FBI, and he posted violent threats on social media before and during his assault. Stephanie Gosk is there with the latest.
Moments after authorities say Ricky Schiffer, a Navy veteran clad in body armor, tried to break into the FBI field office in Cincinnati, there was a post on his social media account. I thought I had a way through bulletproof glass, and I didn't. If you don't hear from me, it is true I tried attacking the FBI. After the attack with an AR-15-style rifle and a nail gun failed, he took off. A high-speed chase ended here in a cornfield, where the 42-year-old was killed in a shootout. Rob Thompson helps run his family's 4,000-acre farm. He watched the whole thing play out from the top of the corn silo. A day later, there's time to reflect on what he saw.
It was like any rural, conservative part of America. There's no place for these kind of extremists out here.
Rattled to see it in your backyard?
Yeah, a little bit. You just don't expect to see that out here for sure.
Authorities have not provided information about Schiffer's motive, but these photos appear to show him at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. And in the days leading up to the Ohio attack, he posted online repeatedly using Truth Social, the social network started by Donald Trump's media company. Schiffer called for violence against federal agents and told people to be ready for combat, similar to many online threats that have been made since the FBI searched Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate on Monday.
Trump supporters went from being generally angry at investigators for investigating Donald Trump to specifically mad at FBI agents. That happened shortly after the search of Mar-a-Lago.
In a message to the agency, FBI Director Christopher Wray told employees the security division is staying vigilant given recent threats. But the FBI will not back down from doing its job. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News, Cincinnati.
And while the Trump investigations claim much of the spotlight, tonight President Biden, after months of setbacks, is capping a winning week. The House gave final congressional approval to that sweeping climate, tax, and prescription drug bill. Here's Kristen Welker.
The motion is adopted.
Tonight, Democrats celebrating a hard-fought victory, passing the Inflation Reduction Act, which will increase taxes on large corporations, allow Medicare to negotiate the costs of prescription drugs, and it makes massive investments in cutting greenhouse gas emissions.
It is really a cause for celebration.
President Biden tweeting, "Today, the American people won, but Republicans are blasting the legislation as reckless spending."
Reject the ballooning of government. Reject the spending of things that we don't need with money we don't have.
Still, the moment caps a week of wins for Democrats. On Tuesday, President Biden signed a bipartisan bill that will pour billions of dollars into U.S. semiconductor production. Wednesday, he signed the PACT Act, which expands benefits for veterans exposed to toxic burn pits. But Democrats are facing headwinds heading into the midterms, with the economy still the top issue for voters.
You still have millions and millions of Americans struggling with the high costs of almost everything.
A recent poll shows Democrats who were once trailing Republicans now making gains in the midterms. 38% of Americans say they want Democrats in charge of Congress, while 34% prefer Republican control. But with uncertainty about the economy and headlines swirling around his predecessor, can the president keep the momentum going?
How does President Biden, who has struggled with messaging, break through?
Yeah, it's really all about repetition every single day, talking about the important things that now Congress and Democrats have done to improve the lives of voters.
All with less than 3 months until voters weigh in. Kristen Welker, NBC News, the White House.
All right, in 60 seconds, the polio virus detected in New York City wastewater, what health officials are now saying, and tragedy in California. Family and friends speaking out after Anne Heche's fiery car crash. Stay with us.
The UN Refugee Agency, or UNHCR, responds to emergencies and provides long-term solutions for refugees. They provide aid in over 130 countries, including Ukraine, Syria, Afghanistan, and Sudan, where people are forced to flee from war and persecution at their greatest moment of need. UNHCR helps and protects refugees by providing food, shelter, medical care, and other life-saving essentials. The agency jumpstarts relief in three key ways. They transport core relief items stored in even the most remote areas of the world. They deploy expert emergency staff trained to help in crisis situations. And they transfer funds directly to support the emergency. Because of generous supporters and donors, UNHCR can scale up its response within 72 hours of a large-scale emergency. Your support helps provide life-saving aid for refugees whenever and wherever emergencies occur. Donate to USA for UNHCR by visiting unrefugees.org/donation.
All right, we are back now with a discovery raising alarm among health officials. The polio virus detected in wastewater right here in New York City after a nearby county reported the first polio infection in the U.S. since 2013. Officials say only about 86% of young children in New York City have been fully vaccinated against polio, and that number is far smaller in other parts of the country. All right, we turn to some sad news from Hollywood tonight. Actress Anne Heche declared legally dead today, a week after her fiery car crash, her car slamming into a Los Angeles home. Her grieving family with an emotional message tonight.
Tonight, actress Anne Heche is legally dead after a fiery crash in Los Angeles a week ago. Her former partner, Ellen DeGeneres, tweeting, "This is a sad day." Heche's family says the 53-year-old suffered an injury that completely cut off oxygen to her brain. Heche is on life support as doctors determine what organs can be donated. Heche's behavior last Friday was erratic. Video obtained by TMZ shows what appears to be Heche's Mini Cooper crashing into a garage and speeding away before driving into this Los Angeles house, setting off a fire that took more than an hour to put out. The renter was able to escape with her pets. Once extracted, Heche was rushed to a hospital where police say an initial blood test showed the presence of narcotics. The actress first made her mark in soap operas.
Donna, don't cry. I can't deal with that right now.
Winning a daytime Emmy for Best Actress in a dual role for NBC's Another World. She moved to movies in the late 90s, working in Donnie Brasco, Wag the Dog, and Six Days, Seven Nights.
I try to do something different every time I'm on screen. I mean, that's the fun for me. I like to take on a different persona and different character.
At the same time, her romance with DeGeneres put Heche in the tabloid spotlight. She said it hurt her career because no major studio would hire her for almost a decade. She struggled with mental illness, talking about it in her memoir and interviews.
When I escaped to my fantasy, I escaped to a world of love.
Heche married once and had two sons. Tonight, one says he hopes his mom is free from pain and exploring her eternal freedom. Ann Thompson, NBC News.
Okay, next, we take you on an urgent mission tracking sea turtles on the Florida coast. The important clues the turtles are telling us about climate change. When you head to Florida, it may not seem like anything is wrong in the waters off of that state where sea turtles lay their eggs, but look more closely and you'll find one more devastating effect of global warming. Here's Kerry Sanders with our series, Climate Challenge.
Early this morning, under the light of the supermoon, a loggerhead turtle, 30 feet from water's edge, begins to lay her eggs.
This is always pretty fantastic.
Fantastic, say biologists, because 20 years ago, sea turtle nests were in steep decline. But this year, from beaches in Virginia south and all along the Gulf Coast, a strong resurgence.
It's been a prolific year. In just 13 miles along Florida's east coast, more than 20,000 nests. But there are problems, and it has everything to do with global climate change.
A turtle's sex is determined not by chromosomes, rather, it's all about the temperature of the sand.
There's an old saying in the sea turtle community, hot chicks, cool dudes, because you tend to end up with more females at warmer temperatures and more male hatchlings at cooler temperatures.
Researchers say those hatchlings this morning were most certainly all female.
We have this high percentage of all female years.
Florida Atlantic University professor Jeanette Weineken says 82 degrees or below, you get boys. 88 degrees or above, girls.
That's a problem because you have to have boys. Plain and simple. This is a loggerhead turtle.
This is a green sea turtle.
Those turtles threaten species. 15 miles from shore, far from predators lurking on the beach.
We're going to put him in.
Scientists with the most endangered of all turtles, the leatherback.
Did we get coordinates?
With tiny trackers, scientists hope to beat the odds. Currently, only 1 in 1,000 makes it to adulthood.
As leatherbacks go, so too do the oceans and the oceans that we, humanity, depend upon. So their fate there is inextricably linked with our own.
Kerry Sanders, NBC News, Melbourne, Florida.
And next, a story we know you're going to love. Catching a wave in these dog days of summer. Stay with us. Finally, surf's up. Man's best friend making a big splash at a contest where they're all competing to be top dog.
Staring out at the ocean, seeing beautiful waves crash, it's a question so many have pondered. When it comes to dogs, which dog is the greatest surfer on the planet? For the last 2 years, it's been a mystery. The pandemic putting a hold on international competition. But this past week, thousands turned out for the World Dog Surfing Championships. This is no joke. We're talking about pets that can hang 10, actually hang 20. Just take Skyler, a Queensland heeler whose human happens to be a pro surfer himself.
There's a lot of really good dogs here.
The competitions, like the conditions out here, serious. But it couldn't stop Carson, a tiny rescue from Los Angeles, or Rippin' Rosie, living up to her name. Derby, a freestyling golden doodle who's now more advanced than his owner.
I was learning how to surf and he wanted to try to do it with me, and he's actually was a lot better than I was.
All eyes on the big kahuna, Cherie, a French bulldog who just happens to be the reigning champ.
He needs to get his dams right.
With the pressure on and time running out, one dog stood out.
That dog is Skyler!
A new king of the beach, Skyler.
And there's a rad era of surf dogs going on right now.
A rad era of surf dogs is right. A portion of the money raised will go to help out dogs in need, some on land and others that will continue this epic ride.
And a big congrats to Skyler. And that's how we leave you, dogs on surfboards. That's nightly news for this Friday. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Tom Yamas. Have a great weekend. Good night.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.